Women had had their clothes slit open. Some were naked. They'd been raped and lay on bare floors or in the street, frozen stiff and dead. There were young girls, no more than 15 or 16 years old. There were old women. Age didn't seem to matter. Some must have tried to run away because they were shot in the back or stabbed and were lying in grotesque, twisted, stiff shapes by the side of the houses, as if they'd been kicked into that spot. An old man was nailed upside down onto the door of a shed. This must have been a special punishment. Maybe he tried to protect his wife. No, it's not an extract from an Alistair MacLean novel. It's just one of many graphic scenes from a new book, Helga, which tells the true story of a young Swiss girl's ordeal under the Nazis and subsequent flight as a refugee and her struggle to be reunited with her war-torn family. It wasn't easy for Helga Gerhardi to write her book. Many of her memories were so painful. But with the help and support of her family in Buckinghamshire, she completed it. And Helga herself joins me now in the studio. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
And thank you very much for joining us. How painful was it to write this book?
It was very painful. I think the worst part to write about was the cold. We were, and I was a refugee, it was in the winter of 1944-45, and we had about 15 to 20 degrees below zero. And if you've got no shelter and you've got no food, becoming weaker and weaker, you never forget that time. You just walk along, stumble along. You try and shrink into yourself. You have blankets around you. Some people even had sacks with holes cut in so that they only could just look through. And when I wrote about it again, because I just felt people ought to know what it was like, because this was the eastern part of Germany, when I wrote about it again, I felt cold again. I was in a warm climate at the time, actually. I was on holiday in Tenerife. And I even then had to get a blanket out to try and keep myself warm.
It brought a chill back.
Oh, it certainly did. I used to get goose pimples all over my arms and back. I didn't want to write about it, but people always said, if you write about it, you get it out of your system. Because for years, I wouldn't even talk. I wouldn't even mention it. I always used to cut off any story about my past from the moment when I became a refugee, because I was alone. And like I said, the cold was the worst. The hunger, well, I think you get used to hunger. Your stomach suddenly just doesn't seem to rumble anymore. But the cold, I never want to be cold again in my life.
Helga, let's start at the beginning. Tell us about your background, your Swiss family. Where
yes.
did you grow up?
I grew up near the Lithuanian border. It was my grandfather already who had left Switzerland and founded a dairy up there. But I've only lived 5 or 6 years in a place called Tilsit, where my father had a very big dairy. Actually, the name Tilsit has never really died, because my grandfather was the originator of the Tilsiter cheese, and you can even buy it today.
Right.
People very often say, what is Tilsit? I say, yes, it's a town on the River Mabel.
Right.
And we moved to Königsberg, the capital of East Prussia, because of, from the education point of view, my mother felt with four children it would be better to have the education in a bigger town, because Tilsit was a very small market town. I had quite a happy childhood. I saw the difference when Hitler came to power in 1933, because I think that was the first time when I realized I wasn't German, because my father didn't have to vote. And
were the Swiss regarded by Hitler as foreigners?
We were neutral, and I don't think anybody bothered us until the war started, because once the war started, any foreigner was under suspicion. And they always thought that we might have guns or secret papers. And I think the neighbors sort of suspected that we had more food than anybody else. But that was because my father owning a dairy, my mother tried to get something, you know, somebody had a bit of extra butter and she got some coffee for it. But then everybody did that, if they could possibly do it. But because we went German, we had the searches by the SS. They used to come and just knock on the door, and some were kind, but some were very cruel. And as my mother was mostly alone, because my father had to stay during the week and Tilsit with his dairy, my mother had to cope with these people. And
how were they cruel?
They used to just walk from one room to the next. I mean, my father's desk, they used to take the just the drawers out and turn them upside down. All the papers used to be on the floor. I think the linen cupboards were the worst, because they used to just push all the laundry out and all the white sheets and then kick them up in the air with their black boots, thinking there might be something in the back. They knocked on walls and so on. But because we had a little bit of extra food, maybe, or a few bottles of brandy or champagne my father had, my mother was always glad when I was there, because we sort of had a routine. She would say to me, well, maybe you could try and get the supper ready. And that was a sign that she would take them into the other rooms first, and I used to very quickly dive into the study and sort of get the bottles out and hide them downstairs in the cellar amongst the potatoes. Because any excuse, if they had found something, might have been troublesome. So we avoided that.
So you lived in fear. I'm talking to Helga Gerhardy about her book called, quite simply, Helga, and her experiences of World War II. You were separated from your family, but
yes,
this story does have a happy ending. We'll catch up with you in a moment, Helga. My guest at the moment is Helga Gerhardy, who's just brought out a book called, quite simply, Helga, about her graphic memories and experiences of World War II. Helga, you met Hitler.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, it was actually an accident, I think.
You didn't meet him by choice?
No, it wasn't planned either.
What happened?
Hitler came to Königsberg, where we lived, and I had a piano lesson that day. When I got out, of course, there were crowds of people lining the roads, and the Hitler Youth in the front, keeping the people back, and I had to cross the road to get home. My father, who's been away all the week, came home for the weekend, so I bought a few flowers, intending to give them to him. Well, I was determined to cross this road before Hitler came, but having to push through the crowds, I couldn't quite see what was going on, and I heard some motorbikes, but I didn't take any notice of it. And then suddenly I got through the crowds, and I was in the road. And round the corner came Hitler. He stood in his car. And one of the SS men, seeing me, got hold of my hands and said, oh, give the flowers to the Führer. Well, I didn't intend to give the flowers to the Führer, because they were for my father. But he pulled me along, and there was Hitler, and he looked down. He had very piercing blue eyes, and I was absolutely petrified, but I'm afraid my arm just went up, and he took the flowers. And then he said, why aren't you in uniform? And I replied, I'm Swiss. I don't need uniform. But I don't think he took any notice of that, because the crowds were cheering and he was just sort of looking round and lifting up his arm in greetings of Heil. And I just ran off, because that was the end of it. But when I came home and told my parents about it, my father was a bit concerned, because he said, look, you are Swiss, and as a Swiss person, you shouldn't have really talked to Hitler. I said, but I couldn't help it.
You had no choice. No. Did you remember those eyes of his for some time afterwards?
Oh, yes, I did. Oh, yes, I did. They were cold and piercing, those eyes. And I think also I was afraid that made it worse, because...
You were young. How old were you?
About 12 years old. Yes, it was the fright, because he was such a famous man, and I didn't belong to the Hitler Youth. All my school friends did, but I didn't. And I was the one who had said a few words to him. And of course, when I came to school the next day, everybody says, oh, you know, you were lucky, you were able to talk to him. To me, it was just a frightening experience, and to them, it would have been a wonderful moment if they'd only met him, because the young people did adore Hitler. It was because of the Hitler Youth. Everybody, as soon as they were 10 years old, had to join the Hitler Youth. And I was actually jealous, because they did a lot of lovely things which I would have liked to join, like going camping at the weekend and the different meetings. I had the opportunity to go camping one weekend with them, because one of my school friends arranged that. And I found it great fun. that most of it was stressing Hitler and Goering and Goebbels and stories about their life and their achievement. And I think it's only in later years that I realized how this part, how the young people sort of were indoctrinated actually with the Nazism, not realizing what was happening.
Now, as a refugee, not only were you cold, you described that severe winter of 1944-5, cold and unfed, you were actually on your own as well. What one scene, reading through your book, you described waking up and you were covered in creepy, crawly things. What was that?
Oh, that was towards the... after we had already gone through most of it, I was able to spend one night in a refugee camp that had tried to open up schools and halls where all the refugees could arrive and be put up for the night, and we had beds one on top of the other. I was already very weak by then, but it was the first time ever I was able to have a wash, a proper wash. I was given a piece of soap, and it was only cold water, but at least I could wash myself. So I took my rags off, because they were only rags by then. I was surprised how thin I was, but anyway, I had a good wash and soaked myself down. Washed my clothes. I only had one set to change into, which I did. And then I thought, well, at least I've got a bed to sleep. I woke up suddenly and I itched all over, and I thought, well, probably it is the soap. I hadn't had any soap on my body for weeks, but it kept on, and I scratched myself and I came out in great big red wheels. And so I got up, and suddenly I saw bugs. I've never had bugs before, and they were crawling up the wall, and they were all over the blanket. And I screamed, and a woman came and shook me, and she said, look, we all got it, and the place is infested with them. Just go and sit under the light, and maybe that will help, because they don't like the light, which I did. I was very ill already by then, which I didn't realize. I had a terrible cough, and... it wasn't very long after that that I finished up in hospital, actually, and didn't even know I was there. They had to burn all my clothes and cut my hair because it was all matted. They couldn't put a comb through it.
But you survived, and you eventually were reunited with your family, and now it must seem many years later, living happily in Buckinghamshire.
Yes,
but with your family.
There was quite a story still after that, because although I found my mother at first and then my father, we still had to live another winter in a very desolate radio station with no sanitation at all. We had a well which used to freeze up in the winter, and the toilet was just a little shed outside with a bucket. But I made a journey from Hamburg to the south of Germany on a broken bike in order to find my other two sisters and maybe my brother. And that is another story in the book, what I did then, because I slept in haystacks and in barns. We had the different zones. One was the English zone and one was the American zone, and of course I had to enter the American zone from the English one, but I did get a permit. But when I got into the American zone, I was even imprisoned by the Americans. That is...
Well, that's another story perhaps for another time. You've led an incredible life, Helga. Thank you very much for coming and sharing your experiences with us on the programme. You have a chance to win a copy of Helga Gerhardi's book, called quite simply Helga, later this week on The Good Morning Show. In the meantime, we must leave it there. Helga, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.